Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad loved to preach the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. He walked closely with Jesus for 90 years and wanted everyone to know Jesus and to love him. Through this Christmas season, Dad's messages have been on answering the question, where is he? This has been a beautiful series of seeing Jesus in the message of the prophets, in the Annunciation of Gabriel to Mary, in the manger of Bethlehem, and today, in heaven interceding for us, where Dad reveals four things Jesus does for us as our high priest in heaven. We hope this service will comfort you and give you hope and peace as we enter a new year. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to thank you all for tuning in today, and just pray that this service will be a blessing and a help to everyone. We're going to be thinking about Jesus as our great high priest today, and so we're looking at the words of the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 10 to 13. By the which we will sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the great high priest, and that he's mindful of every one of us, and all of us who, when we put our faith in him, he intercedes for us on the throne of God, and he watches over us, and he helps us, and he helps us all the way to heaven. And so in this service today, may we honor Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, great high priest of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And Barb's going to sing for us, "This World Is Not My Home." And God bless you, Barb.
This world is not my home, I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, that's one thing I know, 'cause I made it right with Jesus so many years ago. The songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Home in this world anymore.
Amen. Well, thank you, Barb, and that's sure the truth. If you have Jesus, but you have to have Jesus, then this world isn't your home. We're just passing through, and all he's preparing a place for us over there. And the writers of the scriptures tell us that you can't even put into words the beauties of heaven. And that's going to be our home. And we're going to have a place there, and it's going to have your name on it. And the rent is never going to come due. And everything's going to be there. There'll be no sin there. And oh, that'll be a glorious time. But you have to have Jesus. You have to have Jesus in your heart. And you'll never have him there till you ask him there. And he's knocking at your door right now, wants to come in. You take him in if you haven't done that. And heaven will be your home too. And we just hope that all of you, every one of you that are watching or listening, wherever you are in the whole world, that you'll come to Jesus so we can see you in heaven. Well, we have to share some of the letters. We get so many nice letters, and we read every letter we get. And we can't use all of them on our service, but we pick out some of them that just really stand out. And here's one from Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And this person writes, last Sunday you spoke about the Bible and said that people who say the Bible contradicts itself have not read it enough entirely to think it through and to say that it contradicts itself. Now, this is never true. It never does. And then he goes on and says, I started to laugh because only a few days before I'd come to the same conclusion. I laughed because it showed me again the Holy Spirit does many wonderful ways confirm us what he says in the Bible, the holy book of God. And so you can count on the Bible. God never contradicts himself. And if you found it a contradiction, it's because you're not reading it right. And you just study it. It tells us in the scripture, study thyself, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study that word, because it's a word. Well, what did Jesus say? Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Heaven and earth going to be gone. Some of you, we're living for this earth and this real estate and with the things of this world. And it's, well, Peter talks about it. He tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, this is what Peter says going to happen to this earth that we're standing on right now. This is what's going to happen. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, all be burned and gone, and only the things that are done for Christ will last. If you want the things eternal, get to Jesus. Have to have Jesus. Here's a letter from a person writing, and they say they're from Mitchell, South Dakota. And they said, my husband went to heaven. He had pancreatic cancer. I'd like you to send me 10 films of The Heart of a Shepherd. I want to give them to our 4 children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and many more. Well, so the first thing we want to do is just give our condolences to this dear lady whose husband is with the Lord. He's there waiting for you. And I'll bet you, after you see Jesus, you'll get to see your husband, your wife. And that'll be a wonderful thing. And then here's, it's so wonderful that you're getting the Heart of a Shepherd and to give it to your grandchildren. Because the Heart of a Shepherd is a little story about my life. How I came to Jesus when I was 10 years old. 10 years old. I remember it as though it was last night. I accepted Jesus, had some services in a country schoolhouse. An evangelist came and preached. I accepted Jesus. And the whole film is made to help people accept Jesus, because that's all that counts. The only way to heaven is Jesus. So you have to have him, and that's what this film is all about. And when you give this to your friends and they'll watch it, they'll say, yes, I want Jesus too, and they can accept the Lord. We just got a letter the other day, and he accepted the Lord watching this film. And now here's a letter, and I'm not going to give the state or the city because I don't want anybody to figure out where it's about, but I had to use this letter because there's just so much truth in it, and I want to share it with you. This lady writes, she says, I'm going to ask you to pray for my husband. He told me he had a bad experience when he went to church when he was younger. He tells me he doesn't believe in God. Oh, pray for his soul. I know deep down he does. He just doesn't want to admit it. Thank you. And so here's a man. He said he had a bad experience in church when he was a boy, a child. He might have. The church is made up of human beings, and sometimes it rubs the wrong way. Those things happen. So he never goes back. Well, you know, I had a bad experience over at the dentist when I was a kid, and I've been going to the dentist all my life. And what you need to do is to realize that this is human beings, and you had to put that aside, and it's a very flimsy excuse to say that you had a bad experience, so you're never going back. People use all kinds of excuses. You know, this is my 75th year in preaching, 75 years of my 75th year. And I know what you're saying. Why, he doesn't do very good after that long a time. Well, you should have heard me when I started out. Was it something? I go preaching and I go witnessing homes, and this actually happened to me. I stopped at a house to invite the people to come to church. And the man says, you know, when I was a kid, they made us go to the church all the time. And I got so tired of that church that I never went back. Oh, I felt bad. I went to the next house. He wasn't going to church either. You know what he said? You know, my folks never made me go when I was a kid, and I never got in the habit, so I never went. Just lame-brained excuses. And so here this woman, she says, I wish my husband would put this experience behind him and take Jesus. And she thinks maybe he does, but he won't tell anybody. You know, men are that way. Some of those men are stubborn as an ox. And I don't know why. Just tell your wife, I want to take you. She's wondering if you are saved. She's wondering if maybe in your heart you trusted Jesus. And then she tries to find some good thing that you did. And then she, oh, yes, he didn't kick the dog so much anymore, see. So there's some little fight. You tell her, I accepted Jesus. I want you to know that. And I'll tell you, if you do that, I'll bet she'll make the best dinner you ever had in your life. Just don't be so back. Just step out and tell Jesus. And I'm talking from experience. I've been around for a while, and I know exactly what's going on. These men, they just won't budge. They just won't give. Then here's one from Omaha, Nebraska. And this person writes, we watch the Christian Worship Hour and would love to hear how Pastor Salem became a child of God and his life of service, but more importantly, how others can hear the gospel. My parents also watched our program faithfully every Sunday. They're both with Jesus now, and I'm so thankful they told us about your service, and we can now benefit from these messages and know Jesus. How did I come to know Jesus? That's the story of this film that we have is a story of how I came to know Jesus. And my mother was a beautiful Christian woman. The earliest recollections I have of my life, and I had two brothers with three of us right close together, she would read a Bible story every night, and she'd give us a kiss, say a prayer, give us a kiss, and she taught us about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then one day I went to evangelistic meetings, 10 years old, accepted the Lord. It's 87 years ago. Smartest thing I ever did. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to do that. And you just come to Jesus and you just say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to please come into my heart, wash away my sins, because there's no sin in heaven. You got to have the blood of the Lamb. And then tell him you'll turn from your sin the best you can and thank him. And you're a child of God and you'll be in heaven. So just you pray for this film that wherever it goes, they'll get the message that we made this film to tell people how to come to Jesus. Here's Woodbury, Minnesota. I know this may seem like a lot, but I would like you to send me 88 DVDs of Heart of a Shepherd, 88. Well, listen, she says, I'm going to pass them out, all that live at my townhome complex. If that's too much, please send what you can. She sent $100. She wants 88 films. You know what we did? Packaged 88 films and sent it to her the next day. And we did that because she's going to give these to all those people in that complex. And they're going to hear about Jesus and come to know Jesus. And you say, well, boy, you must have a lot of money. Then you just pass them out like that. Well, we do have a lot of money. We got all God's people and all their money behind us. And somebody will hear this, and I'll tell you, I know so what will happen. Somebody will send some money, help us along, and we get these out. 88, she's going to go out and hand those out. And that's what we need to do, get the word out. Sierra Vista, Arizona. Our elderly aunt from Sioux City, Iowa, told us about you. You were her pastor as she was housebound. She encouraged us to listen to you. She's now with the Lord. And here's this dear little lady, and she talks about Jesus. And she's got her relatives, got her children listening and others. And it's all about Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Got to have Jesus. Sartell, Minnesota. We enjoy your Bible truth sermons. We record them and watch them when we later have time. You talk often of your mom and her strong faith in Jesus. Did your dad know and have Jesus in his heart? You know, that's a good letter. And I always talk about my mother. She was a Christian. My dad wasn't a Christian. He didn't know Jesus. No way for him to share Jesus. He didn't know him. My mother, that was her whole life. My dad was a good man, and he provided the best he could for us. He was gone a lot of times. He was bought and sold sheep and worked on, so he worked hard, but he didn't know Jesus. But let me tell you something. When I accepted Jesus 10 years old, I started praying for my dad. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And when he was about 60 or 70 years old, something like that, he went to an evangelistic meeting and went forward and accepted Jesus. Took him in his heart, and I'm going to see him. He's in heaven. But I didn't get any help in knowing Jesus from my dad because he didn't know my Jesus. He never objected to us going to church or anything like that, but it wasn't for him. But I'm going to see him someday, and won't that be a glorious time when we're all together, and it's all because my mother prayed for my dad all the time. And I started out when I was 10 years old, accepted Jesus. I started praying for my dad. And he accepted Jesus. And about a month later, I was still praying he'd get saved. I was in a rut. You know, so our prayers, sometimes we just do our prayers. And I'm praying for him to get saved. And then the Lord said, I saved him 10 days ago or a month ago. Pray about something else, see? So that's my dad. I'll see my dad. One more letter. West Palm Beach, Florida. I want you all to listen to this. This is what it's all about. I had a cousin that was diagnosed with leukemia. I witnessed to him about 10 letters, sent him scripture and your new song and so forth. But it wasn't until I sent him your film to watch that he finally gave his heart to Jesus. Before he died, he said he'd see my sister in heaven. She passed away a month before he did. Until then, he was strictly a non-believer. So thank you for your motivating film and saving his soul. Jesus loves you and we love you. That's the whole reason for this film. That's why we went out on a limb and built and we got this thing going, and it's to bring people to Jesus. And here's a man. He didn't do it until he saw that film, and something in that film. Everybody's praying for it, see? And he turned to Jesus and he died and he went to heaven. So if you want to help us now, and if you want to get the film, you get your pencil and paper. Let me give you the place. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so if you'd like to get this film, you write to us. And it costs us about $10 a film, but you give whatever you can. If you don't have anything, we get people who don't have a thing. We send them. We have this one lady, 88, sent the whole works to her. And praise the Lord, see? And here's a miracle, and it's really a fun thing. It's a fun thing. You can send a gift over the internet, and you ought to do it. It's just thrilling. And you get the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place on there that says donate. From anywhere in the world, you can say, we've got some from Norway. Got a gift from Norway just a little short of time ago. And so then you just put on there. You put in your foreign money, and we'll get it in American money, United States money. We'll pay our bills and go on our way rejoicing. Another thing that we have is a little Bible study. And every month we have a new study. This month, the month of we're going to have in January, we're going to have how to serve God. How to serve God. And so you can just say, I'd like your little Bible study. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, well, I don't know about him. I don't know if he looks honest or not. And how do I know if he maybe go and spend and he'd probably get a sports car or something else. I'm 97 years old, you're worried about me getting a sports car, see. Well, we have an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization, and they check the books. If you're a member of that organization, they check your books every year, all the time. And then we have an agreement. If they want to walk on our premises any time of the day or night and look at our books, the books are always open to them. And so you can know that your money is being checked, is spent exactly the way it's promised to spend it. So we're just looking to you to help us, and I want to give it again because we have shortwave people all over the world. Shortwave radio reaches 95% of the world's population. And we write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And God bless you. Now Jan's going to play. You give as the Lord lays it on your heart. And I'll pray. Jesus in heaven, thank you for your people. Thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from Hebrews chapter 7, if you want to locate that. And this takes place after Jesus has gone to the cross, and he's paid. And you know, in the scripture, it says, Jesus went to the cross, despising the shame, but rejoicing the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That tells us that Jesus was happy to go to the cross and pay for your sins and my sins. And if you would have been the only person in the world, he'd have done it for you. That's how important you are. And you have to open your heart to him, or it's of no avail. And so that's happened. He's been to the cross. He's been buried. He's raised the third day. He's ascended into heaven. And now we read he's at the right hand of the throne of God as our high priest. Hebrews chapter 7, 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, Jesus, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God to by him, seeing he ever maketh intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. That's our great high priest, Jesus. In our prayer now today, we're going to pray for the church at Eritrea, in Eritrea, the persecuted church. We always pray for one of those countries. So today it's Eritrea. So let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our great high priest. And he's at the right hand of the throne of God interceding for us. And he will always be there. He's not like the human priests that died all the time or dying and a new one coming. He is eternal life. He will never die. And he is a savior. And he's the king. And he's the priest all in one. And he's praying for us and he loves us. And he's going to be with us all the way to heaven. And so we pray, Lord, that multitudes today, we pray that everyone that hears or sees this service will make the prayer of the penitent, God, be merciful to me. Come into my heart, take away my sins. I'll turn from them and I'll follow you. May everyone, every last one, make that prayer. And then our brothers and sisters in Eritrea, Lord, some of them are dying. Some of them already died. Some have had their churches burned down. Some of the families are scattered around. They don't know where they are. And the little children are left without parents. And somebody has to help them, poor little things. And so bless them. Just help them to know that, you know, there's a reason for all of these things. And you're letting it go a little bit longer. Maybe somebody else can come. Some more can come. But the day's going to come when the trumpet will sound and the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And it's going to come just sure as the world. So help us labor, Lord, bringing people to you. That's our main prayer. So bless us in this service. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. But before I preach now, Melissa's going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, and it's a medley. So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. When I was a sinner, I sinned both night and day. I asked the Lord to help me, and he showed me the way. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills. tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell, tell it on the mountain. Go tell, tell it everywhere. Go tell, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell, tell it on the mountain. Go tell, tell it everywhere. Go tell, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell, tell it on the mountain. Go tell, tell it on the mountain. Go tell, tell it on the mountain.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And that's what we're trying to do the best we can. We're telling on the mountain and we're telling it all over the world. And, you know, with radio and television, we're able to be to the, all the countries of the world. And with shortwave radio, it reaches 95% of the world's population. So we're telling it on the mountain. We're telling it everywhere we can. And we want, what are we telling them? We're telling them we need you to come to Jesus. I want you to come to Jesus. You have to be, Jesus said, you must be born again. So how are you born again? You're born again when you ask Jesus into your heart. Confess your sins. Turn from our sins. Walk with Jesus. Well, we've been preaching about the things that are happening. That remember that we thought started out the first of the month with the wise men coming to Jerusalem, and they're asking, and this is, where is he born King of the Jews? Where is he? And so we're trying to find out, where is he? Well, he's in the message of the prophets. We looked at that. He's in the Annunciation of the Gabriel to Mary. He is seen in the Song of the Angels. He's seen in the manger of Bethlehem. And now today we're looking at him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's the great high priest interceding for us. And in Hebrews chapter 7, excuse me, verse 25, it says, whereby he is able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, because he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is a great high priest in heaven, and he has saved them unto the uttermost. That means the uttermost of sin. It means that there's a sin in the world that God won't forgive, that Jesus won't forgive, because he paid for your sins. But it means something else. It almost means, it also means the uttermost of time. As long as we live, he's able to save us and to keep us. Until we cross over into heaven, he guides us and keeps us and watches over us. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And so now he's praying for us. He's our high priest. And we see four things. I want you to look at four things about the high priest. First of all, he is our there as a living hope. Peter talks about it, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There where Peter saw the time when Jesus was dead. He was on the cross, he was dead, and all hope was gone. Some of the disciples went back to their old trade. They went back to fishing. They thought everything was done, everything was over. But Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and he's alive, and he'll be alive forever. And because of that death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have a hope, and it's called a living hope. And as long as Jesus Christ lives, we have safety. And Jesus Christ is going to have live forever, because when he went to the cross, he gave his life. That's why he was born of the Virgin Mary, so that he have a body that he could die for us. But he never died spiritually. He just gave that human life and shed that blood to pay for our sins. What a wonderful Savior. Everything around, so then he's a living hope. Did you ever stop to think of this? Everything around us is dying. I'm 97. I have seen more of my friends go than you can imagine. Every direction I look, and the only good thing is I don't have any enemies anymore because they all died. And so that's kind of a nice thing. Now if the bill collectors could go, but no, we want them to get saved first. Then they can go. But the point simply is to remember that Jesus Christ is alive. And as long as he's alive, we have that hope. When one, you see, and everything changes. You have a man the other day and his car broke down. And he says, man, it just seems like it was a long time, not very long ago, I bought that car new and it's wore out. Well, I guess it did. He had over 100,000 miles on. Don't know what he's doing. It's run out. It's just old. It just gives up. It fades out. And that's what the way we live. Peter talks about that in the 23rd verse of, he says, in the 23rd verse in the first chapter, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. But this is the Lord word, which is by the gospel, is preached unto you. And there's a songwriter, Henry Lighty, and he put it like this. He says, change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. That's why I love to preach, because I have a message that's going to be here as long as this earth stands. And when this earth goes and is melts into fervent heat, like Peter said, that word of the Lord will endure forever. And there'll never be a time when that wonderful word of God isn't true and isn't there and sound as it can be. It's the word of God. I love to preach it. There's so, when you think about this, we have this living hope. Jesus is that living hope. And when you have talk about it, talk about Christian hope, you have to think about this and remember what that hope means. It's Christian hope is made up of two things. It's made up of desire and expectation. We may desire something and not expect to get it. I may desire $1 million. I don't expect to get it. And so we can do anything we want. We just wish we had it, but we don't get it. Then there's some things that are going to get it, and they don't want it. It's something if they expect it, but they don't desire it. The man that's going to get shot at sunrise, he doesn't not much desire for that, but he expects it, see. But when you put desire and expectation together, then we have that wonderful risen Christ. He's in heaven. He's a great high priest, and he keeps us, and we're forever safe, forever safe. Warren Wiersbe spells it out perfectly. He says, a living hope is one that has life in it and therefore can give life to us. Because it has life, it grows and becomes greater and more beautiful as time goes on. Time destroys most hopes. They fade and then they die. But the passing of time only makes the Christian's hope that much glorious. So the first blessing we have, that Peter points out, of this great high priest in heaven, we have a living hope. And then the second thing he talks about, we have a glorious inheritance with Jesus in heaven as our high priest. He talks about it, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And he says, he has brought us to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Look at that. When we accept Jesus, we inherit all these things. He says it's incorruptible. That is, nothing can ruin it. Nothing can touch it. It is undefiled. It can't be cheapened. It can't be cheapened in any way or stained. And it says, fadeth not away, never grows old, never wears out, never disappoints us, fadeth not away. You know what that means? It means when you have all of those things, you know what it means? It means we have our inheritance is God himself. That's our inheritance, God. Why, that's what we're told. Look at Psalm 16, verse 5. It says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Or I have a godly, goodly, godly inheritance when I'm in Jesus, because I have God as my inheritance. The prophet Jeremiah declares in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 24, the Lord is my portion. That's my inheritance. God is my inheritance. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, will I hope in him. And so it is a great Christian's inheritance is God himself. And then the third thing I put down, God is our great high priest in heaven, and we have a secure salvation. We are kept in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at that. We are kept. Kept. And how are we kept? By the power of God Almighty. That word kept is a military word, and it means guarded and shielded. And the tense of the word reveals we're constantly be guarded, constantly kept by God himself. This simply means that when we are saved forever. When we are saved forever, then we are kept by the mighty power of God Almighty. It means that we can know we are going to heaven. We're not a guess so hope so. You know, my dear grandmother, what a dear saint she was, and she loved Jesus. And I'd say, well, Grandma, I'm going to see you in heaven. And she'd say, I hope so. I hope so. She didn't have that real enough assurance in her heart. But when God says he saves us, he will save us forever. And you'll never be lost. And some of you worry about that. You feel you might be lost. You don't need to worry. How so? Well, let me give you a couple scriptures. Here's John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath. That's present tense. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And then my favorite verse in the Bible, John 5:24. Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. The minute you pray that prayer, you have everlasting life. You're a child of God. You're born again. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All that happens in the flick of an eye when you accept Jesus Christ. And he says that, as he says, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. But he's not done. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, shall not go into hell, but is passed from death unto life. That is the most beautiful verse, John 5:24. So when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. And somebody says, well, yeah, you preached all that time. You should go somewhere. At least give anybody get to heaven. My works doesn't mean a thing, not a thing. All of our righteousness is like filthy rags. I'm going to heaven because I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's what you're clothed in too. And when we cut the pearly gates, you're not going to see a sinner, poor old lost sinner. You're going to see a cleansed sinner in the righteousness of Christ that says, come on in. Come on in. The Son is here. He's waiting for you, this wonderful Savior. Oh, I tell you, I just love to preach it because it gives so much hope. And then if you still have worries, just turn to John 10, verse 20, 27 and 28 and 29. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And he says, I give unto them eternal life. And he says, they shall never perish. That ought to settle us, shouldn't it? What's going on with your head? And thou shalt, and he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. I'm holding you. You're not holding on to me. I'm holding you, Buster. And then it goes on in the last verse. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's great joy in knowing that God holds me. And I don't hold him. I love him and I serve him, but I'm frail. What have I lost my mind the last maybe a month or year, I don't know. I won't lose my mind very long at 97. But suppose I lose my mind, say a swear word. Makes no difference. He holds me. He keeps me. He's paid for all my sins up until the cross, until I accepted him, and then all the rest of my life, he's already paid him, all paid. He doesn't have to go on the cross every time I sin, because I sin plenty, and I still do. I'm not bragging. I'm ashamed of it, but I'm just facing the facts. The gospel writer John in 1 John chapter 5, 12 and 13 says, "He who hath the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." Then listen to what he says. "These things have I written unto you, that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know." I've written these down so you may know that you have eternal life and that you may have continued to believe in the name of the Son of God. And so when we accept Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus, he gives us eternal life. And you know what it does? When I know that I'm saved, no matter what I do, I know I'm going to heaven. It just gives me peace. I'm not always wondering, these people that you think you can lose your salvation, you're walking on eggshells all the time. You're on thin ice. What if it breaks through? What if I do something? What if I say something? What if I, what if somebody pulls out in front of me in my car? Or what if I'm just heading for a parking lot and somebody zips in ahead of me? Oh, boy, what if I do that? And before I can repent, I'm gone. I'm died. I had a heart attack. And I'm gone. That's all paid. It's all paid. And that gives me assurance. I was thinking about the building of the Golden Gate Bridge. That was in 1937. And it was built in San Francisco and cost $77 million. And during the construction of the first part of the bridge, no safety devices were used. And 23 men fell from that bridge into the waters below and were dead, killed. 23. The construction of the second part was decided they would build a net underneath that bridge on the second path. It cost them $100,000. But it saved at least 10 men who fell into that net instead of into the waters. But in addition, they found that the work went on from 15 to 25% faster when the men relieved from the fear of falling. The knowledge that they knew that they were safe gave them liberty to do a better job and do more work. And that's what we do as Christians. I know I'm safe and I'm free and I can serve the Lord without being afraid every night to go to sleep that maybe I'll have a dream. Maybe God will have a bad dream and die or something. No. We belong to the Lord, and he's safe in his hands. And that's wonderful, wonderful Jesus. But the last thing I put down was, when our great high priest is in heaven, we have an eternal home, eternal home. And everybody wants to go home. I just talked to a man just yesterday. He's had a serious operation. Where's my brother, as a matter of fact. And he's had a serious operation. He wants to get well and go home. People, men and women out fighting in the foreign countries want to get the battle over and get home. We all want a home. And so this Jesus makes a home for us. 1 Peter 1:9, and we're told, "I receive in the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls," when that soul is brought home. The end of our faith is to be home with the Lord, to enter our heavenly home. That's our goal. That's the consummation of our faith. That's what draws our faith in Jesus, that he'll take us home, because we're going to see our friends and our loved ones over there, and we're going to see Jesus, and we're going to see God, and we're going to see the glories of heaven. That's our home, our sweet home. Peter was receiving an interesting twist to this. And he writes, receiving the end of your faith. Receiving the end of your faith. In other words, we can experience some of the joys of heaven in advance, but we can have them in fullness when we get to heaven. Heaven is our home. Our presence and our prospects and Christians are glorious. We cannot lose. Living or dying, we are the Lord's, and we're secure in His keeping and His caring. I read of a little old lady, and she was traveling from Buffalo, New York to Cleveland, Ohio, and she's going by boat. And a terrible storm came up, and the boat might not survive. And many of them were praying, and some of them were crying. And the little old lady sit there calm as she could be, just praising Jesus, talking to Jesus. And someone asked her, "How can you be so calm when you're in such danger? You may sink at any minute. How can you do that?" And the little lady replied, "I'm just sitting here loving my Lord, not caring what may happen. You see, I got two daughters. One daughter died last year, went to be with the Lord in heaven. The other daughter lives in Cleveland, and I'm just sitting here wondering which one of them I was going to visit, the one in Cleveland or the one in heaven." And she just sat there, and away they went. That's the beauty of a knowing Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you can have that faith. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Just think about heaven. This is what John says, John 21, Revelation 21. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I give unto them that are as a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Oh, the blessings of heaven, the blessings to come. And it's all because Jesus is our Savior, and he's our high priest, praying for us day by day. And what we have to do is have Jesus as our Savior. And so I'm praying that all over the world, as we're bringing this message, you'll do this. Oh, Jesus, I do want to be with you. I do want to go to heaven. I want to be sure that I'm going to heaven. And so, dear Jesus, what do I do? And you say, "Dear Jesus, please, I've sinned against you. Please come into my heart. Take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll forsake my sins the best I can." I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never be perfect. And when you sin, you just say 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. How many sins do you think I've committed since? Thousands. And every time I go to him, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He says, sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I wash you clean, you're my child. Come on home when your work is done. You just pray that. And when you're done, just in your own words, say it in your own way. And then just thank him. I had a man, I talked to him, I don't think he ever prayed before, and he prayed that prayer. Had brain cancer. He's gone now in heaven. He prayed that prayer, and he says, when he got, instead of saying amen, he said goodbye. Didn't know he's supposed to say amen. Say whatever you want. Now, if you do that, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or use ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want to get the film, you write and ask for the film. If you want to get our little Bible study, ask for the Bible study. But we'd like to hear from you. And if you accept the Jesus right and tell us, we'll send you some literature. And just whatever you do, the main thing is you have to have Jesus. And just remember that we're underwritten by the Evangelical Council for Financial Ability. Every penny's accounted for. So now we're going to pray for the people at Eritrea. And we're going to pray for all of you. Dear Lord, I pray for those on beds of sickness. I pray for the shut-ins. I pray for the young people that have so many temptations. I pray for the children. I pray for the showing of the film, wherever it might be, that precious souls will come to you, dear Jesus. I just pray that you'll help those who mourn the loss of a loved one and help all of them to know that you love them, will help them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you one more time, all you shortwave people, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I hope you'll pray for the Christian Worship Hour. Pray that we'll do the best we can in preaching the word, and that multitudes will be saved and Christian people will be helped, and those who drifted away will come back. God does all of those things, but we have to be people of prayer, and we need people all over the world praying, because that's where we are, all over the world, in every language, every tongue, wherever you are. And wherever you are, whoever you are, remember this: God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. I know I love you. I want you to come so bad, but I can't do it for you, and your wife can't do it for you, your husband, your parents. You have to pray. Just ask Jesus into your heart and then thank him. Let us know, but mainly make that prayer. So until next week, we'll be thinking about you and you think about us. We're all one. And someday we're all going to be one in heaven if we have Jesus. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.